Thank you. I'd like to echo first Ayad's thank you to the organizers of this event. This is the last stop in a tour that has traveled over 6 cities in Canada. We've spoken at around 15 to 20 different events, done a series of radio interviews, met with many different groups and individuals. And this is the final stop before Ayad returns to Palestine. And hopefully, though, the beginning of a campaign around political prisoners, a sustained campaign throughout Canada and throughout North America around the issue of the political imprisonment of both Palestinian children, but also Palestinian political prisoners in general. It really comes at a very critical time. As I had mentioned, there are around 9,000 Palestinian political prisoners currently in Israeli prisons. This is not a new figure. Palestinians have been arrested by the occupation forces for decades. I had quoted the figure of 650,000 Palestinians who have been arrested since 1967. Of course, a large number of Palestinians were arrested prior to the occupation of 1967, following the occupation of 1948. There are also, it's very difficult to find any Palestinian family that doesn't have someone who has been in prison or who themselves haven't been in prison. It is a ubiquitous and common feature of the Israeli occupation. But as I had pointed out, these prisoners are not victims. They represent the backbone of the Palestinian struggle. They represent the leadership of the Palestinian national movement and resistance to occupation. And for that reason in itself, the support and defense and fighting for the freedom of those prisoners is critical to any effective solidarity movement that we can build outside of Palestine. It's been very impressive traveling through Canada, meeting with different people, to see the groundswell of support throughout this country for the issue of Palestine. It's very clear from this, if you like, bird's eye view perspective, that we are winning the public battle around Palestine. We are winning the battle, the ideological battle, not just around prisoners, but around Palestine in general. More and more people in this country are starting to see Israel for what it is, an apartheid state, a state that practices torture, the only state in the world that has legalized torture, and a state that must be fought until this apartheid system is ended. And it's clear from our trip throughout the last couple of weeks that this support is really building throughout the country. It's true, as Adam pointed out in his introduction, that the Canadian government is moving to the right. The Canadian government has never been a friend of Palestinians, neither under the Liberals or the Conservatives. And it's clear that with the current Harper government, that more and more we're going to see decisions like the decision around the Palestinian Authority. But that's not our measure of success. Our measure of success is the public support that we are building and that we must then translate into pressure on the government to start taking meaningful action in support of Palestinian rights. I had spoken on the issue of child prisoners in Palestine. I wanted to give a very brief presentation on another group of prisoners that urgently need our support. These are the prisoners who were kidnapped from Jericho Prison on March 14, just over 1 month ago. I'm sure most of you in this room would have caught the images on television as this kidnapping occurred on March 14. Israeli troops surrounded the Jericho prison under the control of the Palestinian Authority and took 38 Palestinians into Israeli custody. What I wanted to do tonight was just to give a background about these prisoners and explain the current situation, explain what is happening globally in support of their freedom. The situation of these prisoners is urgent. The situation of these prisoners really is life-threatening. Ayad has described the forms of torture that Israel practices routinely against not just children but Palestinian political prisoners in general. And the case of these prisoners kidnapped from the Jericho prison is an example of how this torture is being practiced in a very vicious and very vile manner that places the lives of these prisoners in jeopardy. In April 2002, just to give some background over who these prisoners are and how they ended up in Jericho prison and how they ended up to be in Israeli custody today. In April 2002, 6 Palestinians, including the General Secretary of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, or the PFLP, were illegally imprisoned in a Palestinian Authority jail in Jericho. Five of these prisoners, including Ahmed Saadat, who is the General Secretary of the PFLP, were accused of planning and carrying out the assassination of Rehavim Ze'evi, the Israeli tourism minister. Ze'evi was a right-wing minister in the Israeli cabinet. He, for many years, had championed the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians, not just from the West Bank, but from Palestine 1948 as well, and had openly called for this ethnic cleansing for many decades. In many ways, Ze'evi represented one of the most ugly faces of Zionist colonization of Palestine. The assassination of Ze'evi came as a response by the PFLP to the killing of their general secretary, their previous general secretary, Abu Ali Mustafa. Abu Ali Mustafa was, for many years, one of the leaders of the Palestinian struggle against occupation. He had returned to Palestine in the year 2000 and was killed as he sat at his desk in his office in Ramallah by two missiles fired by a US-made helicopter through the windows of his office. Following the killing of Abu Ali Mustafa, the PFLP declared that they would not take this assassination of someone who was very dearly loved by the Palestinian people lying down. And they carried out the assassination of Ze'evi as a response to this. In early 2002, after going underground for many years, five members of the PFLP were eventually caught by the Palestinian Authority. They were kept in the presidential compound in Ramallah until a deal was made between the Palestinian Authority, the Israeli government, the British government, and the US government to lift the siege on the Ramallah presidential compound where Yasser Arafat was under siege in return for transferring these prisoners to a prison in Jericho. So a deal was made, essentially we'll lift the siege, and in return, you must transfer these five Palestinians to the Jericho prison. What happened when this deal was made, a very rushed and hurried kangaroo court happened inside the presidential compound. A Palestinian military court this time, presided over by a Palestinian brigadier general who had no legal standing to act as a judge. Four of these five prisoners, Hamdi Quran, Basil al-Asmar, Majdi Rumawi, and Ahed al-Ghulmi, were tried in a trial that took only 2 hours. There was no evidence presented, there were no confessions taken, there were no statements taken, but they were convicted and found guilty, and the verdict signed immediately after the trial by Yasser Arafat. And the four were given no right to appeal these verdicts. That night, after this court case, or the sham court case took place, they were transferred in a US convoy to the Jericho prison. It's worth pointing out the fifth person, Ahmed Saadat, the general secretary of the PFLP, was never charged or tried. He wasn't part of this military court that took place in the presidential compound, but he was also transferred to Jericho prison. This Jericho prison was ostensibly under the control of the Palestinian Authority, but the deal, as I said, was made by Israeli, British and US governments, and the prison was supervised by British and US monitors who basically monitored who was coming and going and the conditions of the detention of these prisoners. In fact, the person in charge of the prison, the British commander in charge of the prison, was the same person in charge of the Mays prison in the north of Ireland, the British prison that for many years held Irish freedom fighters and was the subject of many hunger strikes by these freedom fighters. The same person who administered this prison in the north of Ireland also administered the Jericho prison in the West Bank. The detention of these prisoners, of Ahmed Saadat and these other four prisoners, and as well over time another 33 Palestinians were to come under custody in the Jericho prison. The detention of these prisoners really highlights the hypocrisy of calls by the US for the rule of law, for democracy, for any kind of democratic procedures in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. The US government and the British government forced the Palestinian Authority to run this hurried trial with no legal standing, with no basis for appeal, with someone who wasn't even had the authority to act as a judge. And then they themselves administered the prison where these prisoners were held. In many ways, this Jericho prison situation represents what Oslo was really about. the appearance of a Palestinian control, but in reality, the Palestinian Authority acting at the behest of the Israeli government, of the US government, of the British government, and final control resting in the hands of those forces. And this situation, these prisoners were transferred to Jericho in 2002, on April 25, 2002. The situation of these prisoners was a subject of deep anger amongst the Palestinian people. The Palestinian street continuously called for the release of these prisoners, and even the Palestinian Supreme Court issued a judgment demanding that they be released. Amnesty International also issued a call for the release of these prisoners, as did a number of other Palestinian and international organizations. But despite these calls, they were kept in detention for nearly 4 years. And then on the 14th of March this year, just over 1 month ago, the British and US monitors that were in the Jericho prison withdrew. And immediately after their withdrawal, the Israeli government came in, surrounded the prison with tanks and military vehicles, and laid siege to the Jericho prison for around 9 hours. And these are the images that I'm sure most of you have saw on television as it occurred. Demonstrations occurred throughout the West Bank and Gaza Strip as this siege was occurring, and the prisoners themselves refused to give up. They said they weren't going to walk out in surrender, but nevertheless the Israeli forces eventually broke through the walls of the prison and kidnapped. This is why I use the word kidnapped. This is the word that is used by the Committee in Defense of these prisoners as well as Palestinian organizations. They were essentially kidnapped from the prison and taken into Israeli custody. It's worth pointing out that Ahmed Saadat was recently elected in the last elections as a representative in the Legislative Council. He received a large number of votes and is a sitting member of the Legislative Council as well as being the General Secretary of the PFLP. Since that time, the five prisoners who were accused of being involved in the assassination of Ze'evi were taken to the Russian compound, which is a notorious interrogation center located in Jerusalem, a notorious Israeli interrogation center. And there they have faced very severe forms of torture. Three of them have been refused visits of lawyers. Two of them have received one or two visits. The International Committee of the Red Cross has visited these prisoners once in the last 6 weeks. And they are essentially being kept in total isolation from the outside world as well as from each other. There is no contact between them and any other person except the interrogator. Ahmed Saadat, ironically, was brought to an Israeli military court on the 17th of April. And I say ironically because that day is the Palestinian Prisoners' Day. He was brought to a military court near Ramallah where he refused to deal with the court. He stood up and said, when asked to state his name, he said, "It is not me that should be on trial. It is the Israeli occupation for the crimes against our people." And he essentially refused to answer any questions and refused to acknowledge the legitimacy of these Israeli military courts. The Israeli judge, and as I had pointed out, these judges do not necessarily have any legal training. The judge stopped translation at this point and ordered everyone to leave the court. It's also worth pointing out that four Palestinian members of the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament, had come to this military trial to show solidarity with Ahmed Saadat, but they were refused entry into the trial. They weren't allowed into the court. Since that time, the prisoners have faced, as I said, severe forms of torture. One of these prisoners, Ahed al-Ghulmi, was seen by his lawyer in a military court. His lawyer hasn't been allowed to visit him, but he was seen during one of the court sessions. He is suffering from hallucinations. He's been placed under severe sleep deprivation, basically denied for days on end from being allowed to sleep. So one of the results of this is hallucinations, as in addition to other forms of torture that these prisoners are facing. The three other prisoners have been in interrogation since their arrest on the 14th of March, and very little is known about them. They haven't received lawyer visits, they haven't received visits from the International Committee of the Red Cross. Really, there are fears for the worst for these prisoners because of this deliberate isolation. In addition, the families of these prisoners have been barred from travelling. Abla Saadat, the wife of Ahmed Saadat, was refused. She was supposed to go to Japan for her work, was refused permission to leave the country. And there have also been threats against the families of the other prisoners, particularly Ahed al-Ghulmi, to arrest his wife and bring her into detention in order to put pressure on these other prisoners. Of course, the situation of these Jericho prisoners is not unique. There are, in addition to people such as Ahmad Sadat, Marwan Barghouti has been in prison and has also suffered severe forms of torture during his imprisonment. Hassan Youssef, another Palestinian leader from the Ramallah area, has been in prison off and on and is currently in prison now, was arrested a few months ago. In fact, if you look at the last Legislative Council elections, 12 of the elected people are currently in Israeli jails. So if you see a picture of a Legislative Council meeting and the room that they meet in is very similar to this, you will see in the seats where these representatives are supposed to sit, large portraits of them. These are the people that are currently in Israeli prisons, around 12 of the 138 Palestinian Legislative Council members. They were elected while they were in prison. And like the other 9,000 Palestinian prisoners, they have had their freedom taken from them, but they do continue to fight. One of the messages we've tried to push throughout this tour, the arrest of Palestinians is not accidental. It's part of a system of control that targets people who are resisting occupation. It targets the leadership of the Palestinian struggle and of the Palestinian national movement. And this is the reason why those individuals are in prison. The Palestinian prisoners very often will put out statements, will put out commentary on the current political process. Their authority to speak and their voice is very much at the head of the Palestinian struggle. And that is why we must stand with those people behind bars. We must stand with those fighters. Because we know that the Israeli prison system, much like the prison industrial complex here in North America, is not designed to punish people for crimes, but rather to prevent, designed to uphold and maintain occupation and to maintain oppression. This event, the turnout tonight, is very impressive, and it's very encouraging to be part of this tour and to end it with such a high note. I think one of the things that we've noticed throughout our visits to across Canada, as I said earlier, has been the large groundswell of support around the issue of Palestine. But there is an urgent need for us to build coordination between different cities around campaigns such as political prisoners and other campaigns that are occurring. Because each city has very active, strong, powerful groups mobilizing around the issue of Palestine. But the challenge is to find a way to improve our coordination, to build the links between these different campaigns so we can fight and present an effective voice against Israeli apartheid. And as I'm sure you here today realize, we are at a point where we can actually bring down this apartheid system, where we can actually defeat Israeli apartheid, because our message, the message that Israel is an apartheid state, the message that it is a state that cannot be continued to practice these methods of torture, these methods of segregation in many of the ways that the South African apartheid system practiced it. That this state, this apartheid system, must be brought to an end. And your presence here tonight at the final leg of this tour is an indication, I think, that we are going to do that. So thank you very much.